All right, it's that time of the day. Good afternoon, welcome. Thank you for taking your time joining me this afternoon on advanced customization of MDT related to both the standalone version as well as Config Manager. It sort of goes hand in hand here. I have to warn you, though, I normally try quite hard to keep a decent technical level in my sessions. This session is slightly beyond that. Meaning, ladies and gentlemen, that if you don't like scripts, command prompts, PowerShell, databases, web services, front ends, I'm afraid you won't like this session. And if you accidentally came into this room thinking this was an introduction to MDT, I will not be offended if you go and see another session that maybe cover that, because this one doesn't. I'm assuming that you guys are using MDT or using Config Manager or the combination between them in this session. I am monitoring a Twitter feed here on the stage on this laptop here. So if you direct tweets as questions or comments, I'll be able to catch them here. The hashtag is the one next to my alias on Twitter, WinB410. And that's the sort of filter I have here on my screen. So as long as you put that one in, I'll be able to see it. So throughout the session, I love questions. Just raise your hand and out with them, or tweet them to me, and I'll hopefully be able to see them. Depending on the number of questions, well, I might not be able to answer them all in the Twitter feed, but I promise to answer them after the session or later tonight. So just send them in, and they will be answered. My name is Johan, and I will be your host for this session. If you're not on Twitter already, get on Twitter. It's a superior way to get new information about what's going on in MDT and Config Manager, as well as other spaces. Something I recommend is follow me on Twitter, and even more, follow the people I follow on Twitter. Because if you look in my following list, you will see people like Michael Niehaus here, who is actually on the first row, and I saw Alex somewhere in the room as well, one of the consulting services over there. They are on that list. I try to follow in turn all the people that I know of that does OSD good and does Config Manager good. And together, I can every morning or every night, whenever I view my Twitter feed, get a pretty good understanding about what's going on. And just that quick look, daily look about what's going on in the world in terms of OSD has basically saved my life a few times. Just knowing that, oops, that was an issue with this update, or oops, there was something going on here. And did you learn about this new feature, for example? I know no other medium that allow me so quickly to get a good feeling about what's going on. So that could be like 20 tweets with posts. I maybe read the three blog posts out of those 20 tweets, but it's a good way to get an overview. I'm a Microsoft MVP, has been for 10 years now, trying to help out as much as I can in community on my spare time. The day has simply too few hours sometimes, but I'm trying. The green button is where I work. I'm the Chief Technical Architect with Knowledge Factory, meaning I spend most of my working days traveling this blue planet of ours, helping customers doing OSD or Config Manager or the combination of them both. And the beautiful thing about going from site to site to site and doing that for a few years, 25, after a while, you learn what's working and what's not working. So in this session, I will share some of the most common customization I see customers doing, and also hoping to view your eyes or open your eyes for maybe some other tricks you want to try back home. So the word dueling in this session, it's not me arguing with myself on stage. It's actually showing you different technologies that could do the same thing, but hopefully you will find the right angle for you. Deployment Research is my blog and, well, my email address. I've been writing some books. I have a VMMonster environment. That's our demo. Fictive company doesn't exist, but it does have a website. So if you go to vmmonster.com, you can see our policy, you can see the IP plan, and of course, I will point you to a link where you can download this demo environment as well. So All the machines are available for download. This is probably the fourth session I tell you this, for those of you attending my previous ones. But if you go to my blog, Deployment Research, and search for hydration, a ready-made download, a ready-made deployment share that will build these VMs for you if you want to quickly spin up a lab and test environment. So, I already had this question once today in this room by a gentleman on the front row. And this is what I'm discussing more or less with every customer I meet running Config Manager. Why should you bother to integrate with MDT? There have been moments in my life where the answer I wanted to say isn't what I ended up saying. Sometimes, since I'm doing this a lot for many different customers, I know this is good. And sometimes I would just like to save the time, save the discussion and say, because I will smack you on the head if you don't. But don't do that, because smacking is considered rude in most countries, and it's probably illegal too. So don't do that. Go with arguments instead. So that's what I normally do. And to help me with that argument, I'm going to bring up a favorite of mine, WordPad. I love WordPad. Love MS Paint too, and you will see MS Paint as well. Let me see, numbers 8. If you press number 6, it doesn't show any screen then. All right. That looks better. So, why MDT? Integrated with Config Manager. First of all, about a year ago, I was assigned with a task of listing every feature that MDT added on top of Config Manager when they are integrated. And I did that in Excel spreadsheet, and for those of you who are savvy with Excel, you know there is a line number in the left-hand column. 280 enhancements for OSD. MDT adds that. It's a free download. It's supported. It's been downloaded well over 700,000 times. It's becoming a de facto standard for how to do OSD. Most MDT customers obviously use the standalone version because they don't have Config Manager, and then that's a superior deployment solution. But for those of you who have Config Manager, all right, I recommend to integrate with MDT. I will not be able to cover all these features in this session. There is simply not enough hours to do that. But I would like to highlight a few that I like here. One of the enhancements that you get is what I call it enables dynamic deployments. What it really means is that you can use MDT to store settings that generate settings dynamically during deployment. For example, it can detect what site you are on. And depending on site, it can generate different lists of applications that belongs to users on that site. And then it will simply feed that list into the sequence, and then the sequence will go about its business and deploy them. Or it can be applications per model, or it could be applications depending on laptop or desktop, or any other of the very many enhancements that or variables that MDT is using in the background. That allows you to often reduce the number of sequences. I have been to customer sites where they have 30, 35 different sequences, yes, because they have many different departments with many different application lists. And yes, I know you can do collection variables in Config Manager. Yes, you can. But I don't like the overview of that, because I need to go into every collection and review them, or I need to run a PowerShell script that does the same thing. When I have the MDT integration, I just have a plain text file, at least, where I very quickly see what's going on. So I can reduce the number of sequences often, and I can do an OSD simulation. I can verify my deployments in about 5 seconds to check that I have the right computer name, the right OU, the right domain, the right applications, the right everything, the right language, whatever the machine needs to have. I can verify that really quick, pretty much like the application OSD application simulation in Config Manager. With the MDT integration, you can do OSD simulation too. So you don't have to deploy a machine, wait an hour, just to realize, oh, crap, I did a typo somewhere. And the computer name was wrong, too. So that's valuable. Another thing is it contains a complete development framework, you will find hundreds of ready-made code snippets that does common configurations. So when I need to do a customization, I can steal that, borrow that code, and just call for it. So instead of writing 400 lines of code myself, I write maybe 10. And I just reference ready-made functions that is already provided in this package. I mean, there are some 30,000 lines of code. Could that be correct, Michael? I haven't counted them the last version. Give or take 30,000 lines of VBScript code. You don't have to recreate that on your own. You can use it as is. They are very well tested. They are supported by Microsoft. And even if you do some really heavy customizations on your own, Microsoft actually supports you on a sort of a best effort basis. They try to help you get through that as well, even if it's you writing that code. So then it's the things that you don't yet know. Or should I say solve issues you don't net know. There are simply so many enhancements done for common configurations, issues, and features that customers all around the globe has reported in, and those are being fixed automatically for you. Without this integration, you have to find them out on your own and hope maybe that Config Manager did add them. But I tell you this, often when I go to customers, I see them start writing their own scripts, their own customizations, spending sometimes only days, but sometimes several weeks for something that is already in here. And if you're a consultant and you bill by the hour, that's awesome. If you're the customer paying for it, not so awesome. Unless you're like Bank of England or something, but you get the idea. So in addition to those, I will share a bunch of different scenarios with you today, and hopefully some of them will stick in mind. All right. The most useful feature in MDT, the dynamic deployment, the simulations, the framework, is all around the text file. Simple text file, use your favorite editor of choice, Edlin, Copycon, Notepad, whatever you like. Because in its core, you can have your settings in the text file. And the Config Manager solution will simply read the settings and behave after those settings. So if you have a list of apps in that text file, the sequence will install those apps for you during the sequence. But you can also have this text file reach out to other resources. It could be other scripts that you have written, for example, computer naming scripts. Because you have a naming standard depending on hardware, site, and whatnot. You can have it reach out into databases, and you can have it reach out into web services, because MDT, the integration, already connects or contains all that code that is needed to do those connections. So if I need to do a database call, I add a few lines to a text file, and it magically does that in the background, and I will show you that later on. But in this ini file, in the rules engine, it's really powerful stuff to help you quickly get customizations going and Config Manager, and for that matter, Light Touch as well. 95% of what I've been teaching you today is applicable for both standalone MDT and Config Manager, because they all work very much the same. Okay, let's bend the rules a little bit. The simulation I was talking about, if I go to a folder where I have some scripts, these are a few examples of ini files. For example, this one. I told you that there was a ready-made function that could detect if the machine is a laptop or desktop. This is an ini file that will feed different configurations into Config Manager depending on the machine you are deploying is a laptop or a desktop. Because one of the scripts in MDT actually figures out, by doing a WMI query for chassis type, it figures out whether your machine is a laptop, desktop, or a server. And by using a few simple text lines here, I can have Office and Adobe installed for everybody because that's in the default section. But then, if it's a laptop, I will also install the Cisco VPN client, and I will put the machine into the laptop's OU. If it's a desktop, I will not install the Cisco VPN client, and I will put the machine in the desktop's OU. Normally in Config Manager, unless you do collection variables, this is normally where you end up having two sequences, one that you use for laptops and one that you use for desktops. These conditions you can also use within the sequence. So you can add applications in statically in the sequence. Why would you do that? Why don't we do all applications dynamically? It could be that you are generating offline media. And offline media doesn't really get this fancy dynamic application things. But you can use the same conditions on an app that you actually add to the sequence. So you can still have a single sequence, still taking advantage of these ready-made functions and use them. So now I can test this by open up a PowerShell prompt. Navigate to that folder. Work. That's a new command. It's late Thursday. All right. And I can run a gather script that does the simulation. So now it does the simulation quite quickly. It will give me the log files, the same log file I would have get if I actually deployed this machine. So now I can open up the log file. I can go to the beginning of it. I can see that it figured out my IP address. It figured out the MAC address as well. And everything that, if I can type here, I'm trying to start Summit, I'm not doing very well. Everything that you find here, that can be used as conditions in the rules engine, especially these guys here. Make model is laptop. Has UEFI enabled? Is running on battery? You can use those as conditions in your rules to do different things, to have the sequence do different things, depending on what these are set to. There is different ones for virtual machine information as well. If you're running in a VM, it can actually identify what platform as well that you are running on. It can be used to deploy different apps for VMs versus normal machines. But in the end, you will see that it actually figured out that this was a laptop. And in addition to the two default packages, it now created a new array of packages in Config Manager that now installs all three apps because it was a laptop. And for those of you who love the application model, in terms of sequences in Config Manager, unfortunately, they don't play too well hand in hand. There simply has been too many bugs, too many non-desired features, as I call it. I use packages instead in my Config Manager sequence. They are more stable and they are fast. You may get along fine with 10, 20 apps. When you start to add in 100 or beyond that, it's likely to break. And we have a few customers who started off with the application model that actually had to revert back to do packages because of the sequence. And I'm pretty sure some of you in this room has experienced that. So for sequences, I recommend packages still. For normal push-out deployments, use the application model all you want. And yes, there will be some duplicate packages, so what? Just do that because it works. Or at least don't complain to me if your apps doesn't deploy in the sequence. I told you to use packages. A few other settings that are quite common that I see is, I mentioned this by VM. In this case, I have a very simple text file that will install the IPv components or the IPv integration services if the machine I'm deploying to is a VM, but only for that. Another example, by default gateway, I can do different language settings depending on which site I belong to. So it will simply look at default gateway. If I go to my log file again, that I think I closed, there is a default gateway value if this one is matching the one in my inner file, it will do that site settings. So again, by very few changes and also allowing the simulation, I can do things like this. Same goes with per model stuff. Very simple for different models. I deploy different driver applications. You can't assign driver packages this way, unfortunately, but you can assign driver applications this way. So instead of having a bunch of actions in the sequence, you can instead have them in a text file. Even if you have 50 models, so what? It's just a text file with 50 sections in it. And that, again, can be simulated and tested. So the simulation saves you hours, if not days, in deployment projects, and is very powerful. So I will come back to this one quite many times in this session. All right. If you don't want to store settings in a text file, for example, if you decided to add all your machines based on MAC address because you want to assign computer names and maybe a role or applications to specific computers, I recommend roles instead of apps. Having 10 is quite okay in a text file. Having 10,000 in a text file is not okay. It's much better to put them in a database. Because as I said earlier, the inner file can reach out to a database and get settings. If you are using Config Manager, I recommend to install the MDT database on the site server, the same instance as you're running your primary site database at, because this database is extremely lightweight. It's small, rarely goes beyond a few hundred megabytes. It's only being used at deployment time. So when you do a profile and compare the site server database usage and this one, it's like a 99.9995% and then 0.0005% for the MDT database. I mean, even if you deploy 200 machines at the exact same time, which very few companies do, but if you do, it's just a read from a database containing 10 tables, extremely lightweight. For those of you who are not using Config Manager, I recommend use SQL Express. The maximum database is 10 gigabytes. I will be surprised if you are able to fill up only 1 gigabyte of those, because that means you have a lot of clients that you are pre-staging into that database. The best or most reliable way to access a database in WinPE is still named pipes. So when you go to your database team and ask them to enable named pipes, bring a bottle of scotch. You need to be friends with them. Or even better, be your own DBA. That's actually my strongest recommendation to all of you running Config Manager. Host that database local on the SQL server, even if your DBA strongly advises against it. It simply turns out working the best. It doesn't mean you cannot have it remote. It's just that it works best per Config Manager. It's the most number one most tested configuration there is out there. About two-thirds of every enterprise client in the world is managed by Config Manager. That's pretty cool. And the most tested scenario is site server, local DB. All right, works well. For that, you don't need to open any firewall. The setup does that by default. If you are using SQL Express, which is a separate instance by default, you need to open up not only the normal 1433 TCP port, you also need to open up port for the UDP SQL browser with this 1434 UDP instead of in addition to 4033 TCP. The test environment will show you when it's not working, so you can simply correct the firewall rules until you get it right, but that's something you need to do. It's quite easy to set up. So I'll go over to my demo environment. And this is by the same way for Config Manager and LightTouch, using the same database. You install the deployment workbench. You get that when you install MDT. In the advanced configuration node, this is where you create the database. You simply do a new database. You specify the name of the server. If you're running LightTouch, you specify the SQL Express instance. If I can type. Or if you're using Config Manager, you don't specify an instance at all. You normally use the default instance, and you specify your Config Manager server. And then when you click through this wizard, it will actually create the database for you. So now you have a database. Once you have a database, you can start pour content into it. So I will go back to my Config Manager server, where I have a database right here. It's configured. If I open up Management Studio, shortly, it's coming, connect to my CMO1 database or server, you can see I do have an MDT database. What you also need to do is to create a security login so that you can access this database. And with that, I don't mean to create a user underneath the database security. I mean you should go to security, the top node security, and create a login. In this case, I have created two logins that I'm going to use throughout the day, one for the network access account in Config Manager and one for another service account I'm using for web services. But Config Manager by default is accessing this database using the network access account. So that account needs to have permission to the database. Most times you only need read, but sometimes you have operations that does require read-write, and then of course you need to sign those permissions. But this is something you do once and then it's being set. So you browse for the user, you configure the correct permissions. Now, if I go back to my test environment, I can simulate the test here that queries the database. So I will run a script that does the simulation, but for the database. Before that, though, my ini file, let me show you the script first. Database. Where did you go, my friend? Alphabetic order. There it is. That's the script. If you look really hard, it simply deletes the mini-empty folder if it exists, and then it runs the gather script, one of the built-in scripts, with the ini file specified. And that allows me to have very different configurations side by side and test them quickly. But anyway, I will run this script. It will contact the database and eventually bring up the log file. I will just close this one. So now, if I type select, that was WMI call for disks, this is where it actually constructed a database query. You can see it in the details. It created select from star, which is star from computer settings. That's a view in the database where UID as a tag, serial number, or MAC address is whatever it is on this machine. But you can see it returned nothing. And that was because I didn't add this machine to the database yet. But what I can do now is I can take this MAC address, copy it, go back to my server, open up the workbench, and create a new computer. I will call it PC42. That's the description. I will type in the MAC address as one of four identifiers without deleting. So you can use either of these four as identifier. I tend to find that serial number and MAC address are the most useful ones. They are the most unique ones often. And then, in details, I can start adding info now about this machine. So, for example, I would like to add in that, all right, the computer name is PC042. And the organization name is something. But for now, I'm happy with computer name. So I have pre-staged a machine in the database based on a MAC address. Now, if I go back to my simulation, PC number two, run the script again. We should now see a different thing happening. You can see it's setting the name when it was passing by there. But if I search for select again, twice, this is where you see it now returned one record. And then it actually set the computer name in real time from the database during deployment to this computer name. What you also can do in the workbench, you can group settings together in a role. So you can create a static role, and I have a few roles here, marketing, accounting, sales in different organizations in the world. And for example, for the marketing people in the US, let's add in a few config manager packages or light touch applications for those of you running light touch. So I can add in them, and I specify them by package ID. And program name, whatever name it is. For example, this. And yes, it has to match whatever you have in the console. So now I have a list of apps. So I will add one more. Install Adobe Reader 4511. And you can move them up or down in order, depending on which order they should be installed in. So now I've added in a few apps into a role. I can also do settings for a role. So for example, if you belong to this role, you should have the machine object OU should be, did I select marketing? I think I select marketing. They get marketing. So I also now assigning the OU it should put the machine into when you deploy it. I put that in the role as well. So now I have a role with settings. Now I can go back to my computer and I can connect the computer with that role. So I'm now linking that, I can have many roles, but I'm linking the US role to this computer. And now I go back, I run my simulation. Close this one, run the simulation. Have some coffee. Do the select query again. It still figured out the computer name, check. But it also figured out this machine was belonging to role, because you can see it resolves it to role. One is marketing. And then a bit further down, it actually connected to that role and asked for packages. And from that list, it generated an array that says, all right, if you deploy this machine, because it belonged to that role, it will get those packages installed. And also that OU set in as well. It's part of the settings. But this allows you to very quickly, very easily, populate the database with settings. You still have a single sequence that does the job, but you deploy these packages from them. Okay. So that was an example for the default thing. A very cool thing about the MDT database is that you can extend it. You can add your own tables and create views in it. But if you take one of the existing tables, for example, the settings table, and you start to add stuff to it, and settings was, by the way, that long, long list I had in the details node on my computer and on my role. When you refresh the view, there is a stored procedure that refreshes views, the UI will actually change as well. So in the UI I was working, if you add additional fields and refresh the view, you will see additional fields in the UI. Pretty awesome. You can also add stored procedures. If you are using Config Manager, how many are using Config Manager? Let me show you. Most of you. Awesome. You can easily have views or stored procedure that actually taps into Config Manager. The beautiful thing is with the MDT database is that you can change this to your heart content without having to modify this Config Manager database. For guess what? Are you allowed to modify the Config Manager database? Yes, no? No, you are not. This one you can modify all you want. You never break anything in Config Manager because it's outside Config Manager. But you can still link to stuff that you have in Config Manager. And if you put them on the same instance, I can tell you it's much easier to read the info from Config Manager than if you are separate servers or separate instances. And one is simple. For example, you can use a stored procedure to generate computer names. So let me show you how to do that. There are three ways that you can assign settings in MDT and Config Manager. Simple as that, three ways. One, you can ask for it. You can prompt for information. Config Manager doesn't do that by default, but MDT does add the UDI wizard that you can enable, and when you enable that, yes, you do get prompting. The way it looks is the following. It's a wizard that you can customize. That's not the wizard. It stores the information in an XML file, the UDI wizard config file, but these are ready-made panes that you can enable or customize. So for example, there is a ready-made pane that you can enable that will ask you for things like computer name, domain, OU, etc. There is one pane that will ask you for applications to deploy, in addition to the ones that the rules engine added or the sequence added statically. But again, there are many more pages that you can enable. But this is a wizard that you can enable. Okay. So you can prompt for info. The other one is you can pre-stage. And pre-staging was exactly what I showed you before, where I've added in the machine beforehand into the database and then did the deployment or a simulation of a deployment. And the final thing is you can have the system, one way or another, generate a computer name. That's it. These are the only three ways to assign settings. But of course, each of these can be done in a number of different ways. The UDI wizard is just one of them. You can create your own HTA frontend. You can use a PowerShell frontend. You can download existing ones. You can even use, with some modifications, the LightTouch wizard together with Config Manager, because it sort of does the same thing in the background. Pre-staging, if you don't like the MDT database, what if you already have the machine somewhere? Or if you have an inventory system, when you buy machines, you actually have someone making a note. This MAC address, this computer name, possibly this user eventually. If you have that, you can direct the init file directly to that server, or have a stored procedure in the MDT database reach out to that server and grab the info. So you don't have to type it in twice and store it in two different databases. So pre-stage, bunch of ways, generate even more examples. In this example, I'm doing the simplest way of generating a computer name ever. It's not super elegant, but it actually works. This is one way you're generating a computer name. With any luck, it's unique in your environment. MDT knows the serial number. I add PC dash in front of it. So if I take that, copy to my test environment, wherever I stole it or put it away. I'm just going to check that the gatherer is using that init file. It wasn't. So you can just remove that one, and then it will look for a custom settings init file in the same folder. So I will run gather again. It's getting complicated. I think I need to do an advanced configuration here. All right. You can see it set the computer name to PC-serial number. Because on my machine, the serial number was exactly that. For most hardware, this works great. This works great until you start to deploy a virtual machine, either VMware or Hyper-V. And then you get a thing going on. How long can a computer name be? How many characters? Well, below 16, right? So 15 and less. So, and if a serial number is 24, we can agree that that's more, right? Config Manager and MDT will happily accept it and feed it into the setup engine that will choke and die. Give you a message saying, there was an error in the specialized pass, in the shell setup component, whatever. Doesn't tell you what it was. So you need to open up the log file, the setup act log file, to figure out, okay, incorrect computer name. Ah, check. So what you can do, you can actually combine this with VBScript functions directly on that command line. You don't have to write an external script for it. So I can do the following. I can do a left and try to type correctly here. So I will get the 12 characters from the left. But since my serial number was actually longer than this, let me do 5 so we can see this. So previously, my computer name was this, right here. Run the simulation again, and it should be different. Hopefully. Yeah. You can now see it's truncated, the computer name, to something useful. So by using the rules, it's quite easy to generate stuff. But what I'm going to show you now is to generate a computer name based on a prefix and a sequence number. And we use the database to keep track of the numbers. So the first machine that we deploy will be PC81. The next will be PC82, and so forth. So we are using this to track the numbers. We're not having duplicates of the machine entries. So if I go back to my server, I need a stored procedure. You can download this from my blog. It's been updated for MDT 2013 and config mounted 2012 R2. I have it somewhere here, demo folder. So I need a stored procedure that generates the name. So I will open that in Management Studio, and I will create the stored procedure by running it. I also need a table to track my machine names. So I will create that table as well, F5 to execute. If I show you that script that does computer naming, the way it works is that it will only generate an account if it's not there already. So if the machine is already in the database, it will keep the same name. But if it's a new machine, unknown machine to MDT or the database, it will generate the name and add it into the database. So let me go back to my environment and run this stored procedure. Will it work? Yes or no? The answer is no. Just because I give a user read and write to a database doesn't mean I allow them to execute the stored procedure. So after creating this stored procedure, what I need to do is I need to go into the MDT database, go into programmability where stored procedures are, find the stored procedure I just created, properties, permissions, search, browse, select my user or users, and grant them execute to that stored procedure. Otherwise, we'll get an access denied error. So I'm adding the users in. I can now go back to my test environment, and I can run a separate script. And by the way, this is the code required to call a stored procedure. You do not need to be a hardcore scripter to get this one going. That's the beauty of the rules engine. It takes care of the complexity behind the scenes, creates the query, creates the database connection, do the error handling, all that, just by you adding a few lines into a text file. So right, I go back and I will run this script. Gather, generate computer names. Thought I had one. I had one of these and that one, all right. So I run this one and I'll review the log file. Okay, why? How did this stored procedure work? It will only generate the name if the machine was unknown. But about 5 minutes ago, ladies and gentlemen, I added it into the console manually. So I would argue and say it's very much known, this machine. So let us go and make it unknown. So I will go into the database and I have two options. One, I can delete the machine, obviously. But I can also make it unknown by changing one of the, the characters in the MAC address. So I will change a 0 into a 7. Okay. I'll go back to my demo environment. I will run the script again. Doesn't look too good, does it? Are we missing something? Didn't I tell you that we needed a prefix and a sequence number? We actually need to tell the database that. So in the, on the server, in this table that I have right here, machine name sequence that was created, you go edit, you type in a prefix, something, and a sequence number, something. That will be the first number. The way the stored procedure was written, it will actually add 5 characters. So if it's 80, it will be 00080 in this case. So just making sure I save those values. I did. Go back to my test environment. That's not my test environment. Run the script again. So let me see what we have. Multiple records. Probably added that machine a second time when I ran it the first time. What can go wrong in a live demo? Let me see. If I go back here, refresh, go back here, I now have an entry empty record, so let me delete that one and run it again. That was for my run before configuring the machine name table. Imagine doing this troubleshooting if you don't have the simulation. Imagine having to deploy a machine every time you need to test this. Been for a long ride. Voila. Computer name is PC81. The next number after 80. If I go back to my table again on my server and update the view, execute, right-click, hello. It's now 81. So that's how it tracks the numbers. But again, you can very easily have something generate computer names, and you can have different prefixes for different sites, whatever you like. It's just modifying the stored procedure. Or change the values here, whatever you like. So the database is actually quite powerful and also quite challenging. So I'm now going to demonstrate to you my extreme skills in Microsoft Paint. I'm not kidding. Pretty good. What if you have multiple sites? I'm betting that most people in this room have multiple sites. Config Manager people tend to have that and LightTouch customers as well. So, awesome, we have two sites that are connected with a WAN link, and that WAN link is, on a good day, you have 4 megabit available on that link. And you also have pretty good latency, so you are having latencies that are, on average, at least below, 300 milliseconds. It's not the best link, but it's, okay. So I have a distribution point up here with all the content. That's a distribution point. Told you I was good. And I have a distribution point locally on the remote side as well. Then I have the site server here in red, primary site server. And I have the database on that server. Whoop. I'm getting there. Ah. Now is the time to be impressed. That's a database. All right, when I do a deployment, what happens is that the client in the remote office, in the branch office, is contacting the management point as usual, gets the sequence as usual, and the sequence will start to do its things, and during the sequence, it will call out the gather action that reads the inner file. And if the inner file contains instructions to talk to the database, the client at this point will do that. So it will query, do a connection here, directly through a VB script, client-side script, and for hopefully it will get some information back. So it's asking the database and getting something in return. Here we go. The protocol that is being used here is named pipes. Is this a brand new protocol, ladies and gentlemen? It's been around for a while. Again, the reason why we use this protocol, it happens to work really well in WinPE. And it also allows us to use a trusted connection. Because I don't know if you saw this, but when I configured a database or show you the configuration, there was a SQL share. That's a shared folder on your SQL server. So when I do a deployment, it will actually do a net use with the network access account, if you're using Config Manager, or the build account in MDT if you're using LightTouch, to that share, and then use the same trusted connection to read a database. So how much data will this generate, give or take, on a good day? Any idea? It's typically 1-2 megabytes, depending on queries and how many you do and so forth. Named pipes is more or less a file copy per se, so you need to open file and print in the firewalls and all that, but normally you have that already if you're using Config Manager. So this is what's going on the network. Then the client will get the settings and continue its business in the sequence. Now, what if this line is no longer 4 megabit? It's rather 0.4 megabit. And we are starting to see latencies now going beyond 700 on average. Suddenly not so good network anymore. More like the network you will get at Starbucks when you buy coffee. I can tell you the named pipes protocol, when you're getting these type of values, it simply times out. And those of you that are savvy with connection strings, you know that you can increase the timeout. Will it help? Absolutely not. So you're toast. Or are you? You're not. You can switch protocol by adding web services, server side, that talks to the database, and the clients talk to the web service. And I will show you that after the user exit script demo. But when you do that, you switch protocol. You switch into HTTP. And instead of having 1 or 2 megs, you'll get about 1% of that, so for the exact same query. It just happens that a web service is much more efficient. This works. I can guarantee you this will work. Because if it doesn't, you can't do Config Manager at all. This is how Config Manager does it. When the client gets the policy and all that, the information going back and forth to clients, there are web services in use on the site server. This is just another web service. Don't go try even think about trying to replicate the database locally. For those of you who tried SQL replication, it's not that fun. It's much easier to have a central database and have the client contact that one. If you can use the database as is, fine, go ahead. If you need to use web services, so what? There are plenty that you can download and use, and I will show you a few examples later on. So this is something you need to consider when starting to have databases and settings centralized that the clients are reading in real time during deployment. Okay. But before diving into those, you can also have external scripts having the sequence and the .ini file, call them and read the values and use them. As an example of a very common script that I use is the script I use for drivers. I showed this in the previous session today. There is a script that you can download from Deployment Guys and also from either me or Mike's blog. This particular example comes from one of our books, but it's the same script. We just modified it to fit our environment. But this is a script that takes vendor information and normalizes it. It's a script that discovers if it's a Dell something, just return it with Dell. If it's an IBM or Lenovo, return with Lenovo. If it's a Samsung Electronics Company Limited, it's a Samsung, and so forth. And the same goes for models. It's a script that simply for different types of hardware, do different types of identification for different WMI classes, and stores that in a script. And in my .ini file, here, I simply have a section that calls that script. This is how I call an external script, a one-liner. And then I can set properties to the values of functions in that script. So if I run a simulation of that one, I'm now having the sequence reaching, the .ini file reaching out to an external exit script. You can see user exit script was started. And eventually, you can actually, if I search here, the extra properties were called. And since I now have those, I can use them in my sequence. I can use those conditions for my driver packages or for applications to install, etc. So you can reduce the complexity, avoiding having to do queries like select star from Win32 computer system whatever, where something equals or likes or whatever. You just have that logic in a script that you call. MDT does the rest of the connections. All right. Then we have the web services. And they are code running server-side, meaning you can do an infinite number of more fun stuff than you can by using client-side code in WinP. MDT and web services, they talk directly to each other. There are ready-made calls in MDT to talk to a web service. So if I go back to my demo environment, and I will show you a web service. This code is available for download on CodePlex. So if you go to CodePlex and search for frontend, you'll find it. You can also search for pretty good frontend and you'll find it. Also on the Microsoft TechNet site, there is additional web service samples that was published this very week on TechNet, including step-by-step guidance of actually writing your own web services if you don't like to use the one that exists out there. But much better or easier to start with existing code and to, you know, write something on your own for the first time. This is often VB.NET or C# code or whatever you like to write web services in. But the command line to call a web service, in general, with a few exceptions, it's an .ini file that contains the name, the link to the web service. That's the code to call one. Sometimes you set in parameters as well, and then you get actually two lines you need to type in, but all right, fine. If I go to my site server, I have installed a web service, the one I was mentioning available on CodePlex, pretty good front end. And installing a web service is really difficult because you need to download it, and you need to copy it to a folder somewhere. And then you need to fire up IIS. And you need to right-click and add application. And you need to give it a name, and you need to browse to the folder you downloaded it to. That's about it. That's how installing a web service. Now, when I write web services, I tend to store the settings outside of it. So I normally keep a web config file where I have my unique information in just a text file. For example, in this case, what site code, what site server, what domain, etc. Instead of having that hard-coded in the web service. So if I go to a browser, this is how it looks if I refresh the web service. These are 1, 2, 11, 12, something, give or take, ready-made features that you can use. And since we are now running code on the server side, I can do things that is virtually impossible on the client side. For example, adding machine to a collection or deleting one in Config Manager. You can have the deployment solution delete the machine object if it exists, if you are reinstalling the same machine over and over again. I have a few that task to the database. I have one that gives me a list of available OUs in real time from Active Directory and spits them back in an XML file. MDT knows how to read this. This is just to test the web service. I have one that returns the role from the database. But again, server side, and it lists the role I had in my database. And so forth. I have one that gives me the sequences in Config Manager. In fact, it gives me collections that have deployments to them by an OSD sequence. And now I can use this in combination with the HDA page. So if I go to my test client here, go into that folder, I will launch the script that calls the wizard. And I'm now using the light touch wizard together with web services to prompt me for information. And it could see that because this machine was known already, it already figured out the computer name from the database. And of course, I can update that if I want it to be something else. It got me the roles in real time from the database. It listed me the OUs in real time from Active Directory. It gives me available collections in Config Manager. Again, only collections that have deployments to them. I just labeled this OS image, but it's really a collection name. Techie doesn't have to know that deploys the machine. And then when I click finish, what happens is that it will actually add this machine into that collection. And by default, it will kick off a refresh of all systems, which is awesome in a small environment and lab and test. It's not so awesome if you have 10,000 clients or 500 collections. Because what will happen is if you update all systems, you will kick off the collection interval for each and every of those collections. So you will see the call eval logs pinging like crazy, trying to figure out what to do. So if you have a larger environment, I recommend to simply change that is to instead do nothing. Just add it to all systems and allow Config Manager to find it on its own. And to give it time to do that, simply add a timer to the front page or to the front end so it waits until the machine does have a collection. You will see samples out there that does that as well. But you might remember that there was a ready-made web service for that. It was called has advertisement, and I guess I need to change that to has deployment, but you get the idea. So you can have a script that looks for that, and finally when the machine is in the collection, then you kick go. So depending on how many collections you have and where you're testing this, you may want to use that feature or not. But having web services is extremely powerful, and they're not that complex to write either. You don't even need to have Visual Studio Pro or Visual Studio 2013 Pro, you can just download the Express versions. Both the web version and the Windows version of Express, they support writing web services. And the example that is on Spring Board is a project for Visual Studio Express for Windows or for desktop. If I open such a code snippet, this, for example, is the code that queries the role list from the database. It looks complex, but it's only about 20 lines of code. So for example, in the beginning, there is a code snippet that connects it with SQL and does a query. Even if you don't program C# on a daily basis, I'm pretty sure that you guys can actually take a sample like this, copy and paste it to a new section, change it to query a different table or a different view, whatever. Then you can see it's creating an XML document. That's pretty easy. And then it's simply filling the XML document with values from the record set. And finally, it returns the XML document through the browser and through the web service. That's it. Most web services that you will find are very easy, very short, pretty much like a script, really. But it's actually managed code running on the server side. So this is just one of many ways to deal with customization, and you can do virtually everything. Something I love about Config Manager and MDT for that matter is the openness, allowing you to do everything. There really are no limitations, except possibly time and other resources, but I think you get the idea. In fact, if you go to CodePlex and just search for MDT, you will find 150 plus ready-made services that you can steal and use, steal with pride and use. For those of you who doesn't like to code that much, write your own C# code. It's cool, but maybe not for everybody. Orchestrator creates web services, or is a web service in sorts. And if Visual Studio C++ and C# is coding, Orchestrator is more like Lego, building blocks. Pretty sure that everybody in this room played with Lego from time to time. A sequence when integrated with when integrated with MDT can call web services directly, as well as the normal LightTouch sequence can call a web service directly. So let us create a web service, but let's use a normal Lego-based UI to do it. So in here I have a orchestrator server. For those of you who are new into orchestrator, I will give you the 40-minute summary of how to deal with it. First of all, when you install it, all everything, local SQL, of course, but you add knowledge to Orchestrator by adding in integration packs that you need to download first. So you simply register integration packs, and you specify them from a folder somewhere where you have downloaded them. So for example, I've already added in one for Config Manager. I've added in one for Active Directory. So once you add them in, what you also need to do is deploy them to the Runbook Designer or Runbook Server. So that you do, and when you have done that, now you can open the Runbook Designer, and everything that you added or imported will be listed as activities here in the left-hand corner. So for example, since I did Active Directory, that will be Active Directory stuff that you can do here. Ready-made code snippets, Lego boxes that you can drag into the flow. There is one for Config Manager as well, because I added that one. Create a collection, delete collection, add a thing, deploy something. Ready-made stuff. You can even have this one calling PowerShell scripts, and you have that as a Lego box you add in. But let's create a really simple web service. So I will create a folder, not because you have to, but because it's nice to organize them. And I will create a runbook that I will give the name LogMe, used for logging a deployment. Now I will add in a core function in Config Manager, orchestrator, that is get some data. It's called initialize data. Then I'm going to go into text file management and I will add in append line function. And then I will connect them two together, Lego style, just building. Now I need to configure this. So I will right-click and do properties, right-click and properties, and I will add in a parameter. And I'm going to add in one of the default parameters in Config Manager and LightTouch, OSD computer name. And I'm going to add that as string. So now I'm telling this object to, if someone feeds you with OSD computer name, use it. That's what this one does. Then the append line option, I will configure by saying, all right, get this file and this location, ASCII format, please, and text. What should we have here? When starting to use Orchestrator, it's a little bit confusing, this UI, but after a while you get a hang of it. What I recommend to do, right-click these boxes and expand them, because they are easier to type in that way. And then when you enter information, don't type. Subscribe to info already available. So for example, because I connected the initialize with the append, I can subscribe to info from it. So I can right-click and say subscribe, publish data, and I will select the value from that activity and click OK. And then I can add some custom text, has been deployed at, and I can subscribe to another value. And I can select show common published data. For example, activity end time, one of the existing properties. And a dot in the end. So now I have some text that is being created and logged to this log file. All right, I will check in the file. I will run the runbook tester to test it first. It automatically checks it out again. I can run it, assign a computer name, PC number 12. And before doing that, let us review the log file. Currently empty. Run the script, or runbook, run the runbook. Go back to the text file. It now had PC number 12 has been deployed at whatever time it was. Now I have a runbook. I will close the tester. I will check in it. I will go back to my, in this case, MDT server, because MDT happens to be really useful when testing runbooks, because it's quicker to kickstart a deployment sequence rather than a config manager sequence. So here I have an orchestrator sample, and I will go into that and simply browse to my orchestrator server, select my runbook, it will automatically find the values, and I'm good to go. Now I can go back to my test environment. I can run the LightTouch script. Log in eventually. It's coming. Need to be patient. Select my orchestrator sample. Type in a password. This is the account that will be used. And it will run a sequence that runs the runbook. And hopefully succeeds. Succeeded. If I go back to my server, I can now see that PC number 2 was deployed at that time. So everything you can do in Lego style, you can now have the sequence do for you. And by that, I really encourage you to go online to Channel 9, to the other resources on this site for OSD information, And of course, last but not least, fill in the eval if you like the session. And thank you for taking your time today.